So today, continuing in our series, By Faith, you know, as we've been working through this series in Hebrews chapter 11, the key to this whole chapter is by faith. It talks about great things that these men and these women of God did, but a lot of times we focus on what they did, what they accomplished, and the bigger thing is how did they do it, how did they accomplish it, and it's by faith. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us over and over that by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Enoch. And today we're going to be looking at Moses. But there are things in our lives, you know, that sometimes we just have to get through. Some of you guys are like that on at work, right? Like Monday through Friday, like I just got to get through, you know, to Friday. So there's things in life we have to get through. Sometimes there's bigger issues or problems or health concerns, whatever it is that we're just thinking, if I can just get through this, right? If I can weather the storm, if I can ride it out, or whatever kind of motivational phrase, you know, I can kind of hang on to just get through this time. But the thing about these phrases, when we use these and we rely on these things to just get through, what we're really relying on is time, right? If I can just hang on for an amount of time, this thing will work out. It will get better. And these aren't bad things to think. I'm not telling you don't to think this way. But today I want to present to you an even greater way to think. And that's to endure by faith. Endure by faith. When we think about enduring, it means to take a stand. It doesn't just mean to get through it. It means to take a stand. It means to hold your ground. And the thing that's important about this is it's important that we recognize we have to take a stand, because why we're trying to get through something is because there's also something working against us. Amen? There's something working against us. That's the enemy. Sometimes it's ourselves. Sometimes maybe other people. But something is working against us when we're trying to just get through. And so when we endure, it's we're taking a stand that I will not be moved, right? I will stand, and by my faith, I will continue until I endure. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, we see with Moses, it says that by faith, somebody say by faith.
By faith.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Anybody in here look at your baby when they were born and you're like, this is a beautiful child? Mom, you need to raise your hand. I mean, I don't care if anybody else does, but if my own mom's not going to raise her hand, we got problems here. Everybody thinks their own child is beautiful, right? Everybody. You know, your child is beautiful. You think that no matter if it's true or not. I mean, you may or may not be beautiful, but you think, man, my child is beautiful. But Moses' parents look at this child. And if you know the backstory to this, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, feared and hated the children of Israel. Basically, they were getting a little too powerful for his liking. They were accomplishing a little too much. He commanded that every male baby be put to death by throwing them in the Nile River. And it says, by faith, Moses was hidden. He was hidden for 3 months. How many of you guys had a baby and think you could hide that baby and keep it quiet for 3 months? See, now my mom is shaking her head no. And that's because of Channing. That's not because of me. She would be. She has a big mouth. I don't. I have to use a microphone. Okay? But imagine hiding this baby for 3 months. It says that Moses was born and they saw that it was a beautiful child. Again, every baby is beautiful to their parents, but the text is really saying that it wasn't just Moses' physical appearance that he was a cute kid. It wasn't just that he was handsome. They looked at Moses and they saw that there was something different about their child, Moses. Somehow, some way, they knew there was something about him, that he was favored. We don't know exactly what they knew, but they looked at him and they're like, something about this child, we've got to hide him. We don't know exactly why that was or how that was. We know what they did, though, that by faith, they had this trust in God, this confidence in God, that by faith they hid him as long as they could. And the word says that they were not afraid of the king's command. They weren't afraid of the king's command. They wouldn't worry about that because they were doing this by faith. And do you know that you can act in a certain way that exercises wisdom, and it doesn't mean that you're fearful? See, I read that and I think, well, it sounds to me like they were scared, right? They're hiding this child, but you can act with wisdom. It doesn't always mean that you are fearful. I've had this talk with many, many people right now in this season. This, we're calling it a season still. It's like 2 years, but this COVID season. There are people who don't want to get out. And some people will tell them they're fearful, but you may not know their story. We have people who have really serious health conditions, or someone at home does, and if they take that home, it could mean the end of their life, the end of a loved one's life. Like, we don't know. Our situation, your situation may be different than theirs. It doesn't always mean they're being fearful. Maybe for them, they're being wise, okay? So we don't always judge other people's intentions because we don't know them. But think about Moses' parents hiding this child out of wisdom, right? I can assure you they weren't just sitting on the front porch rocking their baby boy. They weren't going around showing him to the neighbors. They hid him because there was something special about him. And so at some point it had to get too difficult, right? It's too hard to hide him. He's getting too big or too loud or something. And so they waterproofed this little basket and they put it in the reeds by the river bank. And this was strategic. They didn't just like toss him in, right? They put him in this basket that was waterproof. They set it down in the reeds in a specific location where the Egyptian women would come down to bathe in the Nile. If you don't know this story, Moses' sister kind of stood back and she kind of hid and watched. And Pharaoh's daughter comes down to bathe in the river and she heard that baby crying. And the word says she felt sorry for him. So Moses' sister comes running over and is like, hey, can I get a Hebrew woman to nurse that baby for you? And she's like, well, yeah, that's great. You should do that. And so the little girl goes and gets Moses' mother. Moses' mother comes and Pharaoh's daughter's like, yeah, I'll pay you to nurse this baby. I'm going to keep him. Now think about the way that God worked in that, and he worked in their faith, because of their faith, that Moses' mother got paid to nurse Moses while Pharaoh's daughter would take him on. Moses' life is one that was spared by faith. His parents trusted in God so much they didn't fear the king. Moses should have been dead, like many other baby boys at that time, but God showed his parents that he was favored somehow, some way. Not only was his life spared, but while being raised in the palace, he was still able to have a relationship with his family and with his people, the children of Israel. So Moses endured by faith right off the bat from the faith of his parents. In verse 24, it says that by faith, somebody say by faith.
By faith.
By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches, than the treasure in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. You know, one might look at Moses' life and see how he was spared as a child and see that God clearly had a hand in that. God clearly was at work in this, and so therefore God has to have a great plan for Moses. What an opportunity for Moses, right? That he's been spared for something great, for something big. And if this was me or you in that situation and we're being raised in the palace, we're like, hallelujah, praise you, God, for saving my life. I'm rich. I'm powerful. I've got everything that a person could want. He had this opportunity for fame. He had this opportunity for power. And surely you would think that that's part of God's great plan, but it says that by faith, by his trust in God, by his confidence in God, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, some scholars believe that next in succession in the line for the throne would have come through Pharaoh's daughter. So it's possible that Moses could have even been next in line to be king. He could have been the most powerful leader of the most powerful nation at that time. Moses already had everything you could want, everything you could need, everything you could get. He would have been in a position where he could clap his hands and servants would just carry in whatever he wanted, food, carry out whatever orders he wanted. You know how great it would be if you could just be sitting at home and clap your hands and get a double bacon cheeseburger with fries. I mean, that would be great. I would be significantly heavier than I am even now, but think if you could just anytime you want, or maybe this would be a more up your alley, you clap and get ribs. Anytime you want, just give me some ribs. Give me another rack. Clap your hands and get steak. For some of you guys, clap your hands and you would want salad and they wouldn't bring it to you. They'd just be like, no, find somebody else, man. I don't do that. But maybe that's what you'd want. But think about this. This is the kind of power that Moses would have had and could have had to even a greater measure. And while he's at the height of power, pretty much for his life, one step away from possibly being number one in the land, he chose to give it all up. It says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses, by faith, made this choice, and it says that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses saw this right here as a dividing line between Egypt or the people of God. On one hand, he could have it all, no worries, every need met in his entire life. Or on the other hand, he could join his people and live a life of suffering. And I think if we were in his shoes, you know, I would think, man, you know, I could get in that position of power and then I could just free the people. Right? Doesn't that seem like the easier path? I could just get in position of power and I could free the people, and it's everybody wins. I get it all and they get to be free. That's kind of where I went with this. But notice it says that Moses chose to suffer with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. It says that by faith he refused. By faith he refused. Because he refused to worship their gods. See, church, it goes beyond just the fact that he could have had all that he wanted. They worshiped other gods, and he refused to worship those other gods. He refused to be the kind of man that he was not. He refused to go with the world when he was called to stand with God and his people. He chose to endure by faith. He took a stand. He took a stand against the easy path. He chose righteousness over comfort. That's a hard thing to do sometimes, isn't it, church? Choose righteousness over comfort. He chose to do the right thing that was unpleasant instead of the wrong thing that was fun and easy. And I bet people probably thought he was nuts, right? Just like people have probably thought you're nuts. They've thought that I'm nuts when we choose to choose the right thing, even though it's not the fun thing or the easy thing. Why would he do this? Verse 26 says that he was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He considered this blame or this disgrace for the sake of Christ to be greater than the riches of Egypt, greater than what the world could offer. It says because he was looking forward. Because he was looking forward, he knew there was a greater reward for me standing with God and standing with the people of God than there is if I have everything that this world has to offer. Greater reward there is in being a part of their suffering than there is in being a part of Egypt's sinful lifestyle. Greater reward in being who God has called you to be than who the world expects you to be. This is the choice that Moses made, and he chose to make this choice and endure by faith. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says that when he called the people to himself, Jesus, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Church, this is what Moses did. He denied himself. It wasn't about what I want. It's not about what's easy for me. It's about what does God have planned for me. And he took up his cross. We know he took up his cross because he chose suffering. And it says that he did this because he was looking forward to the reward. And we have the same choice to make today, church. We have the same choice to make today. If you want to endure by faith, listen, it doesn't mean that you get to just choose the easy path. You don't get to just choose the way of compromise, the way of the world, because that is always easy. You don't just choose the path that someone else thinks that you should choose, but you've got to choose to trust Jesus. Live by faith. What if it means that I have to suffer? That makes it a hard decision, doesn't it? When we think about, but wait a minute. What if I'm going to have to suffer? What if I might be rejected by some people in my life? Church, do you trust that the reward that you have to look forward to is greater than even the suffering? Do you trust that it's worth more? Moses chose, and we have a choice too. Verse 27, it says, by faith. Somebody say, by faith.
By faith.
By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he left Egypt. See, keep in mind, by faith, trust in God, confidence in God, that by faith he left the only thing that he had ever really known. He left certainty for uncertainty. He didn't worry about what the king would do. Listen, the king is basically grandpa. This isn't just some guy that's distant, that, you know, he's not going to come out of his house and come after me. It's basically his adopted grandpa. He was not worried about what the king would do. He knew it was right for him to leave. And when you know what's right, you can't worry about the fallout. You have to just trust God that he will take care of it if you do what's right. If you do it by faith, you trust in Jesus. It says that Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. He did this as though he could see God sitting right in front of him, standing right there. I will be faithful to you just as you're sitting right here. He was loyal to God. Why? Because he knew that God was faithful to him. He responded by what he knew, not what he could see. Church, that's faith. Responding by what you know, not by what you see. And Moses knew that what he was leaving behind did not compare to what was to come, even though he would suffer. And the same holds true for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Listen to this part. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working within us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Moses endured by faith because he left Egypt behind and he trusted God for everything that laid before him. He trusted God for his future. And it was during this time that he would go out and spend this time in the wilderness. Many of you guys have heard the story of him, God speaking to him, God being present in a burning bush. This would be the time when he forsook Egypt and he fled and he left to the wilderness. If we want to meet with God, if we want to hear from God, the best place to do that is when we're alone. You know that? The best place to do that is when we're alone, when we're removed from the things that distract us, that separate us from him, that cause us to split our mind, our focus, our attention on him. I can tell you that when you turn your back on the world like Moses did, I can tell you that God will meet you there and speak to you and lead you and guide you, but you've got to do it by faith. It will be hard, but he will help you endure by faith. I've been watching this documentary lately, The Man in the Arena. It doesn't always have the best language. I'd like to be able to have like a filter on it, but it's about Tom Brady's life, and I pulled something from that when I was watching it the other day. He said this statement that really, really hit home to me. So he said, I've realized the toughest things in life have been the best things for me. The toughest things in life have been the best things for me. And he didn't go on to explain, but as I apply that to my own life and I think about that through the lens of faith, the things that are toughest in our lives can be the best things for us because God grows us through those things, through those seasons, through those moments, through those afflictions. He grows us into something better, greater, bigger, stronger, because we rely on him to get through those things. Hebrews 11:28 says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. So God sends Moses back to Israel, back to Egypt, and to this place he left, this place he turned his back on. But God had sent Moses for a reason, for a cause, to free his people. We see this story here in Exodus chapter 12. Verse 12, he says, God speaking to Moses, he says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. See, God had sent Moses to Pharaoh 9 times already. 9 times he went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And 9 times Pharaoh said no. And 9 times God sent a plague upon the land. Those things did not change Pharaoh's mind. And Moses had to keep going back. He had to keep doing it again. And it says that by faith, Moses kept the Passover. By faith, he believed what God said. He trusted in God. He had the confidence that if God said he will do it, then he will do it. He knew that if he trusted in God, he would endure by faith. Isn't it difficult sometimes when you believe God has told you to do something and then you do it and it doesn't seem to work? Anybody ever been in those shoes before? Like, I really believe God told me to do this. He led me to do this. I did it. It didn't really seem to work. I tell people this when you believe that God has given you a word to share, either publicly or privately with a person. Listen, sometimes you will share that word and the person will be like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not for me. Right? And people sometimes will get offended by that. But here's what I want to tell you. If God told you to share it, then you need to share it. Like, you be obedient to your part of it, and then you let God deal with the rest of that. If you trust that God has led you to do something, you do it. But Moses had gone through this 9 times. When it doesn't seem to work out the first time, that seems okay. But then the next time, it's not so good. And the next time after that, it's not so good. And at some point, we decide that we want to give up. Listen, it takes faith to continue to endure, to continue to take our stand and say, you know what? I trust Jesus that if he told me to do something, I'm going to be faithful to do it, and I'm going to believe that he is working. And it says that Moses kept the Passover by faith. This was God's appointed way of salvation from Egypt. This was God's appointed way for his people to be saved by placing the blood of the Lamb around their doorpost. And church, that's God's appointed way for people to be saved today, only by the blood of the Lamb of God, that was shed for you and for me. Amen. John 1:29, Jesus was coming, and John the Baptist, it says, on the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Praise God. Do you receive that this morning by faith? That Jesus is the Lamb of God. That through him, I am victorious. That in him, I can overcome all things and everything. And in him, and him alone, is salvation. In him, and him alone, is reconciliation with the Father in heaven. In him, and him alone, is everything that we need. All the riches of heaven are ours through Christ Jesus. Do you receive that by faith? Then you endure by faith for the rest of your life. You take a stand for the rest of your life. If your faith is in Christ, that's the next thing, is we take a stand for Jesus, for his cause, for his purpose with our lives. Listen, like Moses, you too have been saved by another, by Jesus, if your faith is in him. Like Moses, you too have a choice, that you can indulge in the sin of the world, or you can stand with the people of God looking to that great future reward. Like Moses, we can choose to leave Egypt, right? To leave the things of the world behind, we can ditch bondage and ditch slavery for this place of freedom. The Word of God says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Like Moses, you can be saved by the blood of the Lamb that Jesus paid the price to save you from your sin. The question is this morning, will you say no to Egypt and say yes to the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you? This is the beautiful part, church, is that we get to come to Jesus just as we are. We get to come to Jesus just as we are with all of our sin, all of our flaws, all of our failures, because he already knows it all, and he already loves you, and he already died on the cross for your sin. He was risen from the dead so that you could have eternal life in him. Will you run to the cross? Will you lay hold of the Son of God this morning and put your trust in him? Will you stand with me, church? Father, we thank you and praise you this morning. God, we thank you for faith. God, we thank you that you work in us in a way that we have the ability to believe. And so this morning we just say that we declare we will be a people that will endure by faith. God, that we will stand for your cause, that we will stand against the world, that we will stand for your word. And we'll do it by faith. God, that we trust in you, and we trust in you alone. Lord, will you speak to our hearts this morning? God, will you bring conviction on us if we need conviction? Will you bring restoration where we need restoration? Will you silence the voice of the enemy where we need the enemy silenced? Lord, will you help us to endure? Not just to get through, not just to outlast a period of time, but help us to endure, to take a stand against the thing that is standing against us. And that we do it by faith because we trust in you. Not because we are greater, but Jesus, you are greater. Lord, you are greater. That in you, Lord, we have hope. In you, we have peace. We just declare that over our lives right now. That we have peace in you. That you, God, you and you alone are the one that can bring true peace to our hearts. That in you, we have joy. Joy that is unending, joy that is not based on our circumstances, but it's based on your love for us and your working in our lives, your presence in our lives. Lord, it's you and you alone that we adore, that we worship. Lord, it's you and you alone that our hearts are yearning for. And so I just pray this morning, if there's anyone in this place, Lord, that you're drawing them to you, that today would be that day they would consider the cost. And they would say yes. Today would be the day that they would choose you, Jesus. Lord, for all the rest who have already said yes, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that you would help us to endure by faith. We trust you, God, because you are trustworthy. We have confidence in you, Lord, because if you say something will come to pass, it will come to pass. Your word is perfect and holy and true and pure and without flaw or blemish. That it withstands the test of time. It was relevant when you inspired the writers to write it, and it's relevant today in our culture, in our society, in our lives, in our city, in our homes. Lord, your word is the truth, and it is unchanging, and it is without error. And today we stand upon that truth. And it's by our faith in your word and our faith in who you are that we will endure every situation in our lives. And we praise you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen.